When Apostle Paul was converted, as you know, at binigyan ng instruction itong si Ananias na bautismuhan itong si Saul, one of the reminders ng Panginoong Jesus doon sa kanyang inutusan na si Ananias, anong mangyayari dito kay Saul, who of course will become the Apostle Paul. Ang sabi niya, "He is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name, and I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Of course, hindi natin ito masasabing para din kay John Calvin, but what is said of the Apostle Paul in terms of his instrumentality as well as yung mga sufferings na pinagdaanan ay ang akmang-akma rin dito sa ating pag-aaralang karakter. Na ngayong buwan na ito, exactly on July 10, 2009, will be the 500th year anniversary of the birth of one of the most influential men of history, at yan ay si John Calvin. Pag-aaralan natin ang kanyang pagkatao ngayon, yung kanyang ministeryo sa susunod na linggo, and then yung kanyang pinaka-theology or mensahe sa huling dalawang linggo ng July na ito. So month of July is Calvin month. Pag-aaralan natin ang buhay ng isa sa pinaka-higanting impluensya na ginamit ng Panginoon sa kasaysayan. And as I have arranged this series, ay pinaghihiwalay natin, bagamat pinag-uugnay natin, dapat nating pag-ibahin yung the man and his ideas. You know, sometimes we like a man and we detest his ideas. At other times, you don't like the man, but you like his ideas. But the best influence is that where you join both the man and the idea na pinagsama at ginamit ng Panginoon, and as a beneficiary of John Calvin, isa ako sa na-influensyahan both by the man and by the ideas of the man. I am not a blind follower of John Calvin, and as much as possible, I don't use as my personal description a Calvinist. Very rarely do I use that, only in very theological circles, kung saan wala kang problema na malalaman nilang ibig sabihin mo ng Calvinist in the theological sense. But in most other cases, I try to avoid the title Calvinist for myself because of misunderstanding. Pero gagamitin natin yan just for this month in order that we may have some appreciation both of the man and of his ideas. Now, offhand, we are faced with a problem. In fact, all biographers of John Calvin are faced with a problem. Yung problema, unlike Martin Luther had a lot of materials that are biographical in nature, at marami rin mga taong nagsalita tungkol kay Martin Luther. Ang problem kay Martin Luther, napakaraming materials. Sometimes the same event, there are several versions of the same event, at mamimili ka ano yung talagang version. In the case of John Calvin, even though he wrote more than Luther, yet he was so reticent, masyado siyang makaunti yung kanyang mga sinasabing patungkol sa sarili, para pang ayaw na ayaw niyang magsalita tungkol sa kanyang sarili. You will find here and there, pero as far as biographical materials are concerned, John Calvin was a reticent man. He did not speak very much or write very much about himself. So that becomes a problem, of course, for biographical purposes. Pero walang pasubali, now when it came to influence of the Reformation period, alam natin ang malaking bahagi ng 16th century Reformation. Of course, the main figure was Martin Luther, at yung kanyang 1517 na pagpapako ng 95 theses sa kanyang simbahan doon sa Wittenberg, that set off what is now called Reformation. Nung kanyang ipako yung 95 theses na yon, yun ay isang ordinaryong act, ordinaryong ginagawa noon kapag meron kang public debate na gustong ipahayag. Ngayon, gagawa ka ng 95theses.com. Noon, wala pang .com. Ang meron nun, pako. Papako ka sa sa mga entablado, sa mga plaza, o kaya ay sa simbahan. Eh si Martin Luther yun ang ginawa niya nung merong ngang nagbibili ng indulgence, yung limo sa purgatorio para daw makalaya ang mga kaluluwa sa purgatorio. Laking galit itong si Martin Luther. Gusto lang naman niya ng a healthy debate on the subject. Hindi niya akalain na yung mga nakakita ng kanyang 95 Theses, inimprenta, kumalat sa buong Europa, nakarating sa Papa, at katakot-takot yung naging effect. So without meaning to, Martin Luther's act of nailing the 95 Theses became the start of the Reformation, October 31, 1517 to be exact. And of course, when was John Calvin then? John Calvin was an 8-year-old boy in Noyon, France. So, dyan natin titingnan, si Martin Luther ang pinaka naging mitsa ng Reformasyon, pero pag tiningnan mo, by hindsight, the greatest influence in terms of teaching and theology without any doubt, by any assessment, is John Calvin. Now, John Calvin had a very high esteem for Martin Luther. We can say it was a mutual feeling, but John Calvin always looked highly to Martin Luther. He looked to him as my father. At sinabi niya, kahit anong sabihin ni Luther laban sa akin, I will always look up to him as my father. And that's how he respected the man. So, eto si John Calvin, he was the greatest influence for major reasons. One is because of the masterpiece of theology that came out of John Calvin's pen. Ewan ko kung meron kayo nito, it is of course worth having in your library just for a classic book, The Institutes of the Christian Religion. Nung ito isulat ni John Calvin sa umpisa, he was a 22-year-old man. 22 taong gulang, at ang gusto lang niya ay magkaroon ng summary, yung Protestant belief. At nagsimula siya sa, I think, 15, 16 chapters. And over his life, he will have it published, reprinted, and over all his life, umabot ng 80, more than 80 chapters for books, itong Institutes of the Christian Religion. And this is considered the masterpiece, the magnum opus of the Reformation literature. It summarizes as best as any the theology of the Reformed faith. Also, besides the Institutes of the Christian Religion, John Calvin wrote commentaries on every book of the Bible with the exception of the book of Revelation. Again, it shows you the humility of the man on the one hand, na even though he had all the materials and all the qualifications so that he could write on every book of the Bible, he relented when it came to the book of Revelation. But nonetheless, yung kanyang commentaries until now are of the highest quality. Yung ibang mga kasabay niya, binabasa mo pa rin yung kanilang commentaries, but more of a historical interest. John Calvin, you still read for his ideas sa mga teksto ng kasulat ng scriptures. So again, that measures the influence of this man. At a time na yung mga sinusulat na commentaries ay yung tinatawag na allegorical type, yung gumagawa ng kung ano-anong mga symbolism ng scripture. It was not in the very scholarly type. John Calvin was very scholarly in his writing of commentaries. And I still have a complete set of John Calvin's commentaries which I continue to consult to this day. And besides, of course, yung kanyang theological writings as well as commentaries, through his written sermons and other pieces of writings which are excellent, ay malaki ang impluensya nitong si John Calvin. And one thing that only now the Banner of Truth will release soon, kailan lang nalaman that in the midst of all his writings, sermons, and administration, John Calvin was a prolific letter writer. He wrote in the thousands of all kinds, fellow pastors, ordinary men and women. He would write, and hindi ito computer. Sulat kamay ito. At napakaganda yung kanyang sulat kamay. And he ministered Not just through his preaching and theological writings, he ministered through personal letters. And I can tell you what an edifying ministry letter writing is. Ginamit yan ni John Calvin. Pero gusto kong gawin natin ngayon just for a brief moment, I just look at the man. Huwag muna natin siyang tingnan theologically and in terms ng kanyang mga ideas. Well, just the man. What explains him? What explains such a towering figure he became? Ano itong si John Calvin? He was born in Noyon, Pinardy, France, July 10, 1509, as Jean Calvin. At kung ilalagay nyo sa kasaysayan, ano yung 1509? 1509 was also the year Henry VIII was crowned King of England. That was in April. At kung kayo mahilig sa kasaysayan, one of the most important monarchies of this period was that of Henry VIII. Kung nanonood kayo ng Tudor, may series ng ganun sa TV, tapos na yung season 1, ako meron sa inyong may kumpletong season, hihiram ako. Pero pinapakita roon yung kasaysayan ni Henry VIII. And in fact, in June, just a month before John Calvin was born, Henry VIII will marry Catherine of Aragon. This is of Spain. And it is a marriage that will have very historic consequences for England. And then in October of that year, there was an earthquake that destroyed Constantinople, one of the chief cities of Europe. So though born of a lowly stock, itong si John Calvin, na pinanganak siya sa bahagi ng kanyang angkan na mahirap, pero yung kanyang tatay na si Gerard, later on by diligence, became a successful lawyer. And John came to be educated privately under the aristocratic de Montmorency. Kaya nagkaroon siya ng napakagandang edukasyon at binigyan ng mahusay na pagtuturo. John Calvin completed the arts course by the 1520s. He was already a scholar. He was writing Latin philosophies. His first book was a commentary on Seneca. Seneca was an ancient orator at ito'y naging dissertation ni John Calvin. So he was a scholar at this early age. Now, at that time, although the first plan was for him to study theology, but his father thought it would take too long. Theology then, a whole course of theology, you spent, listen to this, 9 years. 9 years for a course in theology. Magagalit sa akin mga estudyante ko niyan pag 9 years yung kanilang course in theology. Sa JMA ngayon ay 4 years for a full-time course. But at that time, 9 years, and probably his father could not wait that long, although it was the most prestigious possible course noon, ay theology, hindi makapaghintay yung tatay niya, pinag-aral siya ng abogasya. So 5 to 6 years, John Calvin studied in the University of Orleans, America. Sa France ito, kaya Orleans. And during this time, anong meron na dito sa Europa? Bago pa nga nagkaroon ng Reformation, ay nagkaroon sa umpisa ng Italy. Renaissance. It's 15th century. Ito yung pagkakagising. Renaissance means rebirth. Ito yung pagkakatuklas muli ng mga sources of knowledge. Kasi at this time, before the Renaissance, it was just whatever the church said. Yung mga tao ay basta kung ano na lang sabihin ng simbahan. Pero with the Renaissance, ang naging isang slogan dito ay go back to the sources. Huwag ka na lang makinig kung anong sabihin ng simbahan. Study for yourself the sources. At isa sa mga naging product niyan ay inimprenta sa Greek yung mga New Testament na up to this point ay Latin at Vulgate lamang. Pero ngayon, tiniretsa ng Greek. And for the first time, they were able to study the Bible in the original languages, Hebrew and Greek. And John Calvin studied Hebrew and Greek. Nag-aral siya ng Hebrew at Greek. And at this point, he was just wanting to be a scholar. Yun lang ang gusto niya. He was a man of books. o yung tinatawag doon noon na man of letters. At this point, he also developed his taste for writing. So, ito yung tao na ang gusto lang niya, magbasa ng magbasa, magsulat ng magsulat. And he wanted to write on so many scholarly things. He was a scholar. He did not want to go public preaching. He might have never dreamed of ever becoming a preacher. He just wanted to be a scholar. Now, then, something happened. He was converted. And again, unlike in the case of Martin Luther, alam na alam yung detalye ng kanyang conversion, we don't know much about John Calvin's conversion. He would say a name or two of the influences that God used, one that stood out sa kanyang inangkin na may influensya sa kanya was a man in Paris. He named Etienne de la Forge. At hindi naman niya sinabi kung anong talagang influence niya except his acts of compassion. So, yun ang kanyang isang na-single out na influence sa kanyang buhay was a compassionate man. He was touched by the compassion of this man, Etienne de la Forge. Wala tayong alam ngayon kay de la Forge except that John Calvin mentioned him as an influence because of his acts of compassion for him. Pero yung talagang sino yung nagdala sa kanya ng gospel, sino yung nag-witness sa kanya, we do not know. But we do have this word. Can you imagine in a preface to his commentary in the Psalms? Doon tayo nakaalam ng may paano siya na-convert kahit paano. At yan ay nasa inyong handout at the opposite. Babasahin ko yung sinabi niya, God drew me from obscure and lowly beginnings and conferred on me that most honorable office of herald and minister of the gospel. What happened first was that by an unexpected conversion, he tamed to teachableness, a mind too stubborn for its years. For I was strongly devoted to the superstitions of the papacy that nothing less could draw me from such depths of mire. So yan yung description niya ng kanyang conversion. Again, hindi katulad kay Martin Luther. Alam natin yung kanyang mga conviction, yung kanyang mga pagsisikap na mawala yung kanyang conviction of sin. Pati yung mga ultimong detalye ng mga tekstong pinag-aralan niya, alam natin. Kay John Calvin, eto lang ang sinabi niya tungkol sa kanyang conversion. But there is something here which he said it was by unexpected conversion. So in other words, he was looking for something. He was living a life oriented to scholarship. And without him expecting it, the Lord reached out to him. Ang sabi niya sa sarili niya, he was committed to the superstitions of the papacy. Yet God tamed him to a teachableness of mind. Now, if you read between the lines, it means that as a scholar, he had his own ideas. He could not be taught. He will have to invent his own ideas. But now, because of the gospel, he was brought to a teachableness of mind. Now, there is something here that we need to learn. Kung tayo ay gagamitin ng Panginoon sa pagtuturo, ang kailangan tagapagturo ay kinakailangan mayroon siyang teachable mind when it comes to the scriptures. Hindi pwedeng gusto mo lang magturo at hindi ka maturuan. Well, John Calvin came to a point of teachableness, as he said. And it was here in 1536 that he published the first part of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. But at this time, he was already a fugitive. Pinaghahanap na siya. Nag-public na siya ng kanyang pananampalataya. Meron ng Institutes of the Christian Religion. So, kasama ng kanyang brother at sister, ay pumunta siya, papunta siya sila ng Strasbourg. And this will figure prominently in John Calvin's life, Strasbourg. Pupunta siya roon, but doon sa diretsyong daraanan niya, ay may battles. May mga nangyayaring digmaan. So, siya ay nag-detour via Geneva. A fateful detour. So, dito siya nagpunta, 1536. Lihim, or so he thought. Pero kilala na siya noon because sa kanyang isinulat na The Institutes of the Christian Religion. And the reformer of Geneva heard that John Calvin was spending the night in Geneva. His name was Farrell. Guillermo Farrell. And so he went to his inn, what you would call today hotel. So nagpunta siya para kumbinsihin si John Calvin na tulungan siya sa gawain dito sa Geneva. And John Calvin was stubborn. Sabi niya, I'm not looking forward to preaching. That's not my work. I'm just a scholar. I just want to read books and make write-ups on books. I'm not the man you're looking for. Patuloy siyang kinumbinsi ni Farrell to no avail until, let me give to you the words of John Calvin himself. Farrell, who burned with an extraordinary zeal to advance the gospel, immediately strained every nerve to detain me. And after learning that my heart was set upon devoting myself to private studies, for which I wished to keep myself free from other pursuits, and finding that he gained nothing by entreaties, he proceeded to utter the imprecation that God would curse my retirement and the tranquility of the studies which I sought if I should withdraw and refuse to help when the necessity was so urgent. And by this imprecation, I was so terror-struck that I gave up the journey I had undertaken. So, confrontation na nangyari dito, pakiusap ng pakiusap si Farrell. Sabi ni John Calvin, please, Mr. Farrell, my orientation is scholarship. I don't intend to be involved publicly in Reformation. At nung walang mangyari sa pakiusap, ang sabi sa kanya ni Farrell, may God curse your studies, if you will. And during this time, people took seriously imprecations. And John Calvin was so terror-struck by that he stayed in Geneva. But as it will turn out, it would seem to be a failure. Stayed in 1536. By 1538, both he and Farrell were banished by the city of Geneva. So, siguro, mukhang pakiramdam ni Calvin, napasubo ako dahil sa taong to. Pero ang nanging dahilan dito, Calvin would not compromise. The city council wanted him to compromise with the, ang tawag sa kanila, libertines. Meron silang mga views that John Calvin would not compromise. And when the city council would insist, he refused, they were banished. And so John Calvin went back to his original direction, Strasbourg. At doon, ay nakaroon siya ng simbahan na pagpapasturan. And it was a happy time for John Calvin. Then in 1541, Geneva was in a crisis. And who do you think they would think of? John Calvin. Kaya yung mga nagsasabi na mali yung unang ginawa ni Calvin na sumunod kay Farrell, kaya't failure yung kanilang unang attempt, in the first place, would they have called back John Calvin in 1541 if not for what they have seen in Calvin 1536 to 1538? So I believe that God used that. Kumbaga sa panahon ng talagang krisis na yung mga alam nilang hindi dapat bumigay, they only thought of one man. And they appealed to John Calvin to reconsider returning to Geneva. And at this time, of course, you can imagine John Calvin was very much reluctant after a bitter experience first time. But not only that, he was now happy in Strasbourg. Masaya na siya dito sa Strasbourg. At nung sumulat nga siya, in his letter to the Council of Geneva, dated October 23, 1540, nung pinag-isipan niyang bumalik o iwanan yung kanyang gawain sa Strasbourg, itong sinabi niya, I cannot slightingly quit or lay down lightly the charge to which the Lord has called me, without being relieved of it by regular and lawful means, for so have I always believed and taught, and to the present moment cannot persuade myself to the contrary, that when our Lord appoints a man as pastor in a church to teach his word, he ought to consider himself as engaged to take the government of it so that he may not lightly withdraw from it or without a settled testimony in his own heart and the testimony of the faithful that the Lord has discharged him. Ito yung kanyang conviction about the pastorate. When you take up the pastorate under normal circumstances, you take it up for a lifetime. And unless there are very pressing circumstances, he should stay in the pastorate that God had called him. And at this point, naniniwala siyang tinawag siyang magpastor doon sa Strasbourg, but Geneva is calling. Well, you have many situations of that sort in history. Men who have happy pastorates and then God called somewhere else of a greater usefulness. Spurgeon had to leave his Waterbeach pastorate to go to London. And Samuel Davis had to leave a pastorate he was happy in Hanover in order to take up Princeton. And now here, John Calvin, happy pastorate in Strasbourg, and then called to Geneva. Well, such history is replete with such momentous decisions. And John Calvin made that decision. So in 1541, Geneva again. And this time, he will stay until he died in 1564. So 23 years of pastorate in Geneva. He left Strasbourg, although he said, "I would rather face death 100 times." Yet, he also wrote, "I offer my heart to the Lord in sacrifice." And his ministry in Geneva is going to be the base of a ministry that will reach out not only to the people of Geneva, but to Europe, and then ultimately to the world. John Knox, the reformer of England or Scotland, once visited Geneva, and he said this, "I have not seen a city closer to the apostolic times than the city of Geneva when it was under the pastorate of John Calvin." Now, just remember, John Calvin was not the city mayor or administrator. He was a pastor. His influence was by preaching. In fact, he did not become officially citizen of Geneva until just a year before his death. Kaya yung talagang sway niya, itong hindi alam ng marami, somebody will raise the issue, for example, of Servetus, the heretic, who they say John Calvin had put to death. And that is not true. The decision was from the city council. He tried to avert that decision, but he was not the one in power. His sway was by preaching. Kaya hindi natin pwede isisi kay John Calvin ito. He was a preacher in Geneva. In fact, Geneva had 3 churches, each church with their own preachers. Ewan ko lang kung ilan yung dumadalaw dun sa dalawa, wala akong balita. Eh, kung John Calvin yung katapat mo. Pero John Calvin was just one of the preachers of Geneva. The most influential, yes, but still his sway was by his ministry. But it is from here, Geneva, that John Calvin will spend a lifetime of ministry, of preaching, scholarship, administration, and of course, Reformation work. But as other reformers of his time, and John Calvin in particular, he gave himself to the work, you can say now in hindsight, too much. He made evening, day, writing, preparing, writing again, he lacked sleep. And at a time that medicine was not at its best quality, there was little that a body of John Calvin could take. And so he began to waste. When people reminded him, "You're working too much," his answer would be, "The devil's servants are working more." And he could not bear the thought that he would work less because of that. But let me draw to a close by pointing you to another influence in John Calvin's life. John Calvin was surrounded by reformers with a happy marriage. He lived for a time in the home of Martin and Elizabeth Bucher. Martin Bucer would himself be a great reformer. And then there's the friend of Martin Luther, Melanchthon, and his wife also became a mighty influence on John Calvin, and he saw they had a happy marriage. And he thought that this is something that he would want to have. Now, unlike Martin Luther, you would not call John Calvin a romantic. Instead, he wanted his own friends to arrange a marriage for him. It was a story of bungling. The first that they arranged was too rich. And according to John Calvin, he could not afford the dowry. And alam nyo na, yung mga babaeng pakakasalan, sila yung babayaran. Babayaran yung pamilya nila. Ay, yung unang ipinakilala sa kanya ay masyadong mayaman. Ang sabi niya kay Martin Bucer, hindi ko kaya yan. Hindi ko ma-afford yung dowry. The second arranged, according to John Calvin, was too old for him. 15 years older. No way. And then the third, too ungodly. So, nagkaroon ng mga bungling na ganyan until in his congregation, he found an Anabaptist refugee family under the headship of Jean Stordor. Naging kaibigan niya ang family na ito, and yet in 1540, Jean Stordor was stricken with a plague. Remember, this was a time that plagues happened quite regularly. Yung mga plague natin ngayon, yung mga epidemics natin na ngayon, wala yan. Masyado tayong takot sa mga AH1N1, bali wala yan. Alam niyo yung nursery rhyme na a tissue, we all fall down. It was composed at a time of plagues. Yung bang babahin ka na lang and then you fall down. People just died. Well, here is an instance in the refugee community of Anabaptists. Was an Anabaptist family. And naging kaibigan ni John Calvin ang family na ito, yung kanyang yung husband doon na si Jean Stordor. But in 1540, Jean Stordor was stricken with a plague and he died. And John Calvin courted the widow, Idelette de Bure Stordor. And later, they married. Now, John Calvin treated the two children from the previous marriage as his own children, but all children born to their marriage all died as babies. And again, that was not irregular. In those days, that happened. But John Calvin himself, though not romantic, very reticent even about his wife, yet that it was obvious he loved her and she was a light to his ministry. And yet it was only a brief marriage of 9 years. Idelette herself would give way to disease and died at the age of 40. Grief-stricken, John Calvin said, "She was the faithful helper of my ministry, the best companion of my life." He wrote a letter to his friend Viret with his words, "You know how tender or rather soft my heart is. If I did not have strong self-control, I would not have been able to stand it this long. My grief is very heavy. My best life's companion has been taken from me. Whenever I faced serious difficulties, she was ever ready to share with me not only banishment and poverty, but even death itself." Saint John Calvin himself would just survive 12, 13 more years after widowhood, and he himself would waste physically. Probably that hastened yung kanyang trabaho without now the companion of his wife. He gave himself even more self-denyingly to the work, and he himself would perish, would waste in disease. Yung kanyang last will, ay may sinabi siyang ganito, "I give thanks to God that taking mercy on me whom He had created and placed in this world. He not only delivered me out of the deep darkness of idolatry in which I was plunged, but he might bring me into the light of his gospel, make me a partaker in the doctrine of salvation, of which I was most unworthy. And not only with the same mercy and benignity, kindly and graciously bore with my faults and my sins, for which I deserve to be rejected by him and exterminated. But he vouchsafed me such forgiveness and kindness that he has deigned to use my assistance in preaching and promulgating the truth of the gospel. Yet he spoke of the many sicknesses that racked his body. And in his will, the last request he made was the one thing he feared when he died, was that his followers would make a shrine out of his grave. His last request was to be buried in an unmarked grave. And until today, no matter what historians and experts have done, they could not locate the grave of John Calvin. And that's how it is. John Calvin died honoring his Lord and not wanting his name to be magnified on the side of his Lord. And that's the kind of man God used for Reformation. Any question? Jean.
Pastor, three questions. Kasi we're not very familiar dun sa European history. Masiguro mas familiar tayo dun sa American. So, why did the city council call John Calvin? Kung ano yung function and role nung city council? Kung meron namang three churches doon, that's the first question. Kasi diba it should be the congregation who should call the pastor. Then secondly, yung Strasbourg is in
Switzerland.
So, pwede siyang mag minister there even if he's not a citizen. Then thirdly, why did he have a coat of arms? Ano ang function nun? What status did he have that he had to have the coat of arms?
Well, here is one of the issues where I do not agree with John Calvin, and that is church structure, church government and structure. Ang church government and structure ng Presbyterian at this time was naka-structure siya tied with a government, with a state. Well, in this case, a city government, which was Geneva. So kaya yung city council lang nag-decide na siya itawagin, maging minister doon sa isa sa mga churches nila sa Geneva. And it's one of those things I don't agree with the belief of John Calvin. But in the providence of God, kinasangkapan niyo ng Panginoon. I do not agree with this structure of government, but I do not deny that God in His providence has used it in order to wield such a mighty influence sa, hindi lang sa Europe, but sa mundo. Is that a question? Well, tandaan natin, itong mga cities na ito ay hindi sila under ng nation state. Itong mga cities na ito karaniwan ay governed independently. So Geneva is Geneva. It's not under Switzerland as we would know it today. Geneva is just an independent city ng Geneva, much as, let's say, Paris is, or in other words, hindi sila structured as nation states at that time. They were structured as independent cities. Coat of arms, well, it's just something that men of status usually had by way of their identity. Magkakaroon sila ng coat of arms, and John Calvin had one. So, at sa kanyang coat of arms, yun ang nakasulat. Pinili niyang isulat. In fact, the picture there is of a heart as glowing with fire. And the words were, "Cor meum tibi, o fero domine, prompte et sincere. My heart for thy cause, I offer thee, Lord, promptly and sincerely." Lord.
Sir, yung case ni Sir Vitus, nag-implement yung city and ng capital punishment for religious offense? Is that the case?
Yes, it's one of those things that happened during those days. Heretics were considered enemies of the state or enemies of the city for that matter. And therefore, a city government had the right to impose the death penalty on a heretic. In fact, ang nakapagtataka rito ay why only Servetus, kung sisisiin si John Calvin, why only Servetus when it was so common in the other cities, Catholic or Protestant, it was so common to impose the death penalty on people perceived as heretics. In the case of John Calvin, for more than 20 years, you only had one case, that of Servetus, which, according to John Calvin, he tried to avert. Pinilit niyang ma-dismiss yung kaso na yun, but it was a decision by the city council, not his decision. Jean.
In what language did he write the Institutes of the Christian Religion?
Latin and French. Sinulat niya sa Latin because that was the language of status then, the way we would write in English today. But John Calvin was a French through and through. At yung mga isinusulat niya, karaniwan nilalagyan niya ng French translation. So meron siyang French translation ng the Institutes.
Mga trivia kasi yan. Bakit nag-aaway si... there's a difference between Luther and Calvin. Ano, Pastor, yung medyo pinag-aaway?
Well, kagaya rin ng opposition ni Luther sa iba niyang mga naging kadialog na reformers, karaniwan ang pinag-aawayan nila ay Lord's Supper. Martin Luther believed in what we now call consubstantiation. Well, alam niyo yung transubstantiation, sasabihin ng pare na this is my body, and the bread became the body of Christ. That's the Roman Catholic belief until now. The bread in the Mass upon priestly benediction became the body of Christ. It's no longer bread but body of Christ. Yan ang transubstantiation. Binago yan ni Martin Luther bahagya. Ang tawag niya ay consubstantiation. Ang ibig niya sabihin, it's still bread, but it also is, with the bread, is the body of Christ. So, nagkaroon sila ng dialogue ni Ulrich Zwingli, yung isa sa mga reformers noon. Yun ay sa lugar na ang pangalan ay Marburg. At sa kasaysayan, ang tawag na rito ay Marburg Colloquy. Yung Marburg Colloquy na yan ay naging kalokohan sa kanila kasi nag-ano sila ng talking points. Agree 1, 2, 3. Hanggang point number 14, agree. Tuwan-tuwa ng mga tao, magandang kinabukasan ng Reformation sa Europe. Dumating sila sa point number 15, Lord's Supper. Para kay Zwingli, it's a memorial. Para kay Luther, there's a real presence of Christ in the bread. Nag-usap sila, nagtalo-talo. Hindi kilala yung personalidad ni Martin Luther, talagang irrepressible. Nung hindi makumbinsi si Ulrich Zwingli, kumuha siya ng chalk, isinulat sa table ng pagka bold, hoc est corpus meum, this is my body. Pagkasulat niya noon, sinuntok niya yung table ng pagkalakas-lakas, ayaw na niya. Tapos ang colloquy. So, because John Calvin argued best for the reformed position on the Lord's Supper, Martin Luther was somewhat, alam niya yung influence ni John Calvin, but of course he opposed yung kanyang Lord's Supper position, and he had some negative things to say of John Calvin. But you remember, at this time, Martin Luther was an aging reformer, and he was seeing some of his efforts apparently ay naaagaw, quote-unquote, ng reformed community, and he did not have very much sympathy for the reformed community, and he said things that are regrettable. But to John Calvin's merit, he never was dragged into saying anything negative of Martin Luther. Even though nakakarating sa kanya yung sinasabi ni Martin Luther, he would always have the most honorable thing to say of Martin Luther.
Pastor, can you compare and contrast the teachableness of John Calvin and your students at GMA or the pastors that you know? Kasi diniscribe mo kanina yung teachableness niya. Can you make that comparison and contrast?
Oh, I get both. I've seen men really turn around. Kung nagsimula sila sa GMA, they were out and out charismatic or decisionistic. Ang philosophy naman kasi ng GMA, if you're willing to learn, no matter what your views may be at present, we will accept you. But then, it's impossible for one to go on in GMA for 1 year without being challenged at the very least sa iyong mga views. So, at a certain point during the first year, one either would not be able to tolerate the teachings he would be getting, he himself would go out. Or, he himself, by the grace of God, will turn around. And I've seen it both ways. Those who would not tolerate the teachings of scriptures, and they want to just hold fast to their tradition, and after at most a year, they leave. Sometimes, I ask them to leave. But what is most gratifying ay yung mga nagsimula sila na may ganitong posisyon pero makikita mo yung unti-unting pagbabago ng Panginoon sa kanila. And I still am amazed at what truth can do to a man who is teachable. Jojo, I'm sorry?
Bakit wala po siyang commentary sa Revelation?
Pag nakausap ko siya sa langit, yan ang isa sa mga itatanong ko sa kanya. Mr. Calvin, you have helped me a lot from Genesis to Jude. Why did you deprive me of Revelation? Now I'm teaching it. And I feel so deprived. But I think, as I've said, it reflects the humility of the man, John Calvin. Of all the commentators of that time, John Calvin was the most qualified to write one on the book of Revelation. And yung mga binanggit naman niya, not a full commentary, but yung mga binanggit niya sa Revelation, he had, as far as I know, very good thoughts sa book of Revelation. But perhaps for reason of his humble assessment of his qualification, he did not write one on the book of Revelation. As I've said, the only one. The only one book of the Bible he did not write a commentary on. Choi.
Pastor, dito sa handout nito, it's more of John Calvin. Ano ba yung mga teachings talaga ni, o ano tong mga teachings ni, na sinasabing Calvinism?
Well, next week, we will look at John Calvin, the ministry. And then the last two Sundays of July, we will be looking at John Calvin, the message. Kaya dalawang linggo nga ang ating inilalaan para sa kanyang teologiya, for his theology. For now, I deliberately stuck myself to the man. The man who had to struggle with his studies, the man who was terror-stricken by Farrell's imprecation, the man whose heart was moved by idolat. I want us just to see the man.
Hi. Pastor, can you explain to us this strong self-control that he mentioned that enabled him to tide the stormy life that he had after the loss of his wife and children? It might be useful for us.
Again, you can see a contrast here again with Martin Luther. Martin Luther was emotional turbulence himself. And in some ways, it was what was needed at the beginning of the Reformation. You need somebody who was turbulent, who was there to stick out to the fight and all the glowing controversies. Martin Luther was the man for the hour. But towards the consolidation ng Reformation, when what was needed was patient teaching and circulation of theology, what was needed was a man of high degree of control, and John Calvin fits the need, I believe, much better than Martin Luther. So imagine a man whose three children, born of his wife, died all in infancy. And he did mention a few things of his grief over them, but again, not the irrepressible, uncontrollable emotion that Martin Luther was. And I believe that that was exactly the kind of character the Reformation at that point needed in the person of John Calvin. So strong in the face of suffering, strong in the face of threats, and he was threatened. And there was a time when yung mga gustong magpartake ng Lord's Supper nag-threaten na manggugulo sa simbahan kung hindi sila bigyan ng kanilang, hindi sila ipagpartake ng Lord's Supper. And John Calvin made a very calm introduction, who alone can take the Lord's Supper, so calm and yet so firm that his enemies who threatened him just kumbagay hindi nakakilos by that control. He had control of the people before him. Other questions, trivia, interest.
Pastor, I just heard one, I think one preacher also preaching about John Calvin. He was saying that that battle that occurred in Strasbourg was one of the ways by which God's providence really worked. So, parang sinasabi sa atin na minsan akala natin humaharap tayo ng gera, pero God is just directing us to a Geneva, just like John Calvin, at maaring mangyari daw sa atin yon. So, he expounded on that very important event sa life ni John Calvin.
I believe so, and this is one of the fascinations when you study history. You have the benefit of hindsight. In other words, I'm sure John Calvin himself at that point would have been at a loss. But maganitong mga gulo na nangyayari. At pero tayo, we now study history, we look at hindsight, we look at with the benefit of hindsight, we can now interpret providence. But at that time, people had to take it by faith. We interpret providence in history. Those people in the middle of it had to take things by faith. Yun ang nangyari kay John Calvin. He was very much comfortable in Strasbourg when the second call from Geneva came. At sinabi nga niya, I'd rather face death 100 times. He would rather stay in Strasbourg, quiet and suits his scholarly interest. Geneva, he knew, was something he needed like a nail on the head. But he took it anyway. And it had to be an act of faith para kay John Calvin. Other questions? Sana maging hamon ito sa atin. By necessity, I think I have more materials than you can ever have on John Calvin. And so I read a lot, which I have to delete sa aking material dito. But I am an admirer of John Calvin because with so little and so much suffering, he accomplished so much. And beyond John Calvin, you have to admire the God of John Calvin. Let's close in prayer. Sa ganitong buwan, Panginoon, na inaalala namin ang 500 years of anniversary of John Calvin, there is every appropriate reason to acknowledge your goodness to the church through such a man. So we thank you. And though we are not to be followers of mere men, yet you do send to your church and in history such men and women whom you will and whom you have used mightily. And grant, O Lord, that beyond the man, we would see the God of the man. And so we thank you and we appreciate that through your abundant grace, a man with so little, with so much suffering, yet could accomplish so much. May it be a challenge to us. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.